What's going on, people? This is Lecrae.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Kel Mitchell.
Picky Wine is back. Will be me.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Brian Hooks.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Dr. Dorinda Clark Cole.
Yo, what up, y'all? It's your boy, Kev, on stage.
Yo, what's up? This is Doug E. Fresh.
What up? It's DJ Emmy for that Breakfast Club.
What's up, everybody? It's Mr. Talkbox.
Hello there. This is Kim Burrell.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Cardi Cortez.
Well, hello there. I am Ja'Kalen Carr.
Good afternoon. It's Jess with the Mess.
Hey, everyone. This is Faith Jesse.
My name is Kid from Kid and Play.
Peace to the planet. Charlemagne the God here.
What's up, y'all? Las Vegas. It's Said Entertainer. I want you to download and tune into the greatest gospel station in the Las Vegas area.
It's the number one gospel station.
Number one gospel station.
Number one gospel radio.
Check it out. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to go download Anointed Radio app.
From either the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
For 24/7 gospel.
Make sure to check out their website at anointedradionetwork.com.
Music for the soul, music for your spirit, music to lift your heart.
That soul food for your body, that energy for your spirit.
Gospel in the morning, gospel for lunch, gospel at dinner, and then you go to sleep. You know what? Guess what? You're dreaming about some gospel.
Sometimes these are the songs that really uplift us and get us through some of the tough times.
Salute Pastor J. Calhoun and Anointed Radio.
Know your boy wouldn't steer you wrong. Go listen right now. You feel me?
Check them out without no doubt, because gospel is what it's all about.
Good evening, everybody. Wake on up, all the people in different parts of the world. Y'all listen to this Anointed Radio. We're here. We're about to get live. We're about to have a great show tonight, but we're going to start off in normal fashion. And normal fashion is this. We're going to start off with a prayer and a scripture. And the scripture coming out today is going to come out of, let me see. Proverbs 18, verse 10. Proverbs 18, verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. So when you know that the Lord, when you call on the Lord, he's a safe place. You have to understand, you in any sign of trouble, call on the name of Jesus. In any sign of trouble, make sure that you know that the name, the Most High, is a fortified tower, and the righteous will run to it and are safe. That's Proverbs 18 and 10. I want you to go back, read that. It's going to bless your life. Whenever you're in trouble, whenever you're in stress, whenever you have some issues, run to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Dear Father God, we just thank you, God. We thank you for everything that you're doing. God, we just ask you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, that you be able to be in the midst of everything that's happening tonight, Lord. Let your word go forth. Let your revelation be plain. Let your Shekinah glory fall down, God. We just ask you to be in the room tonight, Lord. God, we just ask you to let us be able to reach the unreachable, teach the unteachable, and even touch somebody with the hardest heart to say, what can I do to be saved? God, bless everybody under the sound of my voice. Let them be able to see you for real, see the evidence of what you're doing in their life, be able to see their purpose, and be able to see God in everything that they do. God, we just ask you to enlarge the territory of Anointed Radio. Let us be able to get to new airwaves, new cities, new platforms, new places, new people that want to hear and see a great representation of you. So, God, we just thank you. We glorify you. We give you all the glory and all the praise. And, God, we just ask you to bless everybody under the sound of my voice from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, and let them be able to really see you for who you are. And, God, bless people that are just tired. That's fell on my spirit. So God, bless people that's been tired, that's tired of the same old, people that's tired of the nice, nasty, people that's tired of all these people not acting right when they know better. God, renew their strength, renew their new fresh wind, Lord. And despite of what they're going through, that they know that you are there. And we say that all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 It's Pastor Jan. Like always, I got something to say. And the thing I got to say is this: you can follow me at Anointed Jalon on all social media platforms. And I want you to go do this. What am I going to tell you to go do? Go and Ashley, y'all ready for this? Go share, like, subscribe. All my people everywhere, share, like, subscribe, tag some people. We're going to have a great conversation tonight and come into the room. Ooh, I need a haircut. Yeah, I need a haircut. Ooh, I just saw my hair a little rough. I need to get back to the bald and bearded. Amen. Pray my strength for my haircut. So with that being said, everybody, make sure you go follow all my co-hosts. We got Dr. Marvinetta Clay with Worship Forever. We have Prophetess Tish Shear, where she's Feverly Creations. We have Semi So Real with her thing being Semi So Real. Marvette, the artist, Miss MTA, Prophetess. Oh, see, I'll be speaking something. Psalmist, Marvette. And that's it, y'all. I really think that's it of the people, but amen. With that being said, shout out to all of our media partners, the Las Vegas Raiders, the Las Vegas. And if you didn't know, football starts this Friday. We got the Las Vegas Raiders going against the 49ers in preseason. All my football junkies, it's back. We have football back. So definitely check out, if you're in town for the Las Vegas Raiders versus 49er game this Sunday at 1 o'clock, I'm going to be in attendance. Can't wait. It's going to definitely be a good game just to even just see football again. And then we have our champions, the Las Vegas Knights, our Lady Aces, and another champions, the Las Vegas Aces. Hopefully the Raiders catch on somewhere quick and we can have all championships. And our Aviator, our Las Vegas Lights, and I think that's it. Oh, the Dirt Dog. We have the Dirt Dogs. No, I said Dirt Dogs. The Dogs. They're the little, our lacrosse team. We have our Rebels, the UNLV, and then we have the Vegas Vipers, who is our XFL team. So we have a lot of teams here in Vegas. When I first came to Vegas, there was hardly any teams. And now we have a whole roster of team. So you go see the G League. You go see everything. We even got a thing called Slam Ball. Can I tell y'all something? I went to go see Slam Ball. Shout out to the Buzzers, Buzzsaws. That game was amazing. They was tackling, dunking, alley-ooping. It was like football and basketball that had a baby with a trampoline, and it was amazing. So definitely go check out Slam Ball online. You'll definitely be intrigued by it. It's definitely dope in person. So definitely check all those things out. All the Las Vegas news and sports. You could check out Anointed Radio Sports on our Roku channel and get all the latest updates. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and bring up our guest, Apostle R.L. Jackson. Related to the Jacksons.
That's what my father used to tell me, at least. Praise him.
Amen. When you got a last name as Johnson, Jackson, you got to really be like, well, you know, Michael Jackson is my second cousin removed.
That was the Stilo back in the 90s. That's how I used to move.
See that works, because you'd be able to be like, yeah, let me get in. You know, Michael Jackson, my cousin. So Apostle R.L. Jackson, go ahead and tell everybody where they can find you, your social media handles, your websites, all that good stuff.
We are basically at eHub Nation on pretty much all social media, Facebook, YouTube, and I believe Instagram as well.
Okay. So we're going to do an icebreaker question.
Okay, sir. Icebreakers. All right.
Icebreaker question. The icebreaker question is this. If you had to pick one brand of car for the rest of your life, What brand of car would it be?
Probably Jeep. Anything Jeep.
Hmm.
I would say. Yeah. Anything Jeep. My wife got a Jeep Liberty back in the day, and we still have it. It is still kicking.
It's still running.
It's still running. It's like you need a tank to kill it or something. I don't know. It's a miracle. So when it came time for me to switch out my car, I got a Jeep as well. Just off the strength of her testimony. And I've had it for about, it's a Jeep Renegade. I've had it for about maybe 3 years with no issues.
Okay.
Yeah. There's strength in the brand.
So Jeep in general, we're not sponsored by Jeep. So Jeep out there, if you're out here trying to take our, we ain't sponsored by you. You got to pay us first.
You gonna have to give us some money.
Right. So with that, you would pick Jeep. Okay. Okay. Yeah. If I had to pick anything, the car that had been good to me been Hondas.
Okay.
Hondas has been good to me. I mean, my favorite Honda I had was a 1988 Prelude. It was my poor man Porsche. It had the lights that came up like Knight Rider. Yeah, like it was dope. I had the lights came up, and when I turned my, I remember one time the light kind of looked like my car looked drunk because when the lights would come all the way up. Love that car. You know that car is worth that. When I bought it back, I think it was 09, I bought that car. That car was not even worth, I guess you could say, $1,000.
Oh, wow.
And that was worth $27,000. So
that is amazing. That's funny.
So it just shows you after time, even though time has gone by, that a car might look like it's not worth nothing, but eventually could be a hidden jewel. That could preach.
Yeah. That will preach, sir. That will preach. So, it's funny you mentioned Honda Preludes because my second car was an 81 Honda Prelude. Don't ask me why. Because I went from an 87 Toyota Corolla to a 81 Honda Prelude because I wanted it was a 5-speed. And I wanted to drive a 5-speed so bad, so I bought the Honda Prelude. And needless to say, that did not turn out like I wanted it to. But I did learn some great lessons, though. So there's my Prelude story.
Okay. We have good taste because Preludes, I'm telling you, they need to bring back Preludes with the little lights that come up. I think that's just a dope. I bought it just on GP because the lights go up like that. Let me get a car lights that's not a Porsche and $70,000 that could put lights that look like somebody looking at me. I'm going to put an Autobot thing on there and call it a day. So
I hear that.
So let's dig in. Let's dig in and learn more about you because it's just so much about you. Let's learn about the outside of Apostle. Let's learn about Rodney Lee Jackson.
Oh boy. Okay.
All right. So what was the first thing that got you into church?
Well, I was born and bred. I'm a child of the Baptist movement, the missionary Baptist movement. My mother used to drag me up the street. The church was right at the street, up the street from our house. And my mother would drag me every Sunday morning, literally drag me. I wasn't good at being a morning person, so she would literally drag me up the street. I was a part of BTU, Baptist Training Union. I think I ushered when I was like 8 years old. My father was a deacon. So I was very much just since I can remember being alive, I've always been in church. I didn't really understand it. I love the culture. We had a lot of youth programs, just a lot of great memories in the Baptist church. And I stayed there till I was about maybe, I don't know, 16 or 17 years old. And then I journeyed over into holiness, glory to God. And, you know, that was definitely an adventure, to say the least. And then from there, I was at a church called Holy Tabernacle of Jesus Christ from the Baptist Church. So I went right in. And it was it was really my first time really experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit, seeing prophecy go forth. First time I ever saw miracles was in that church. And we saw some remarkable miracles, some awesome moves of God, and some really just pure prophetic moves, you know. And that's where I learned to seek the Lord. A lot of my technical knowledge, you know, I learned from the Baptist Church. And I'm saying technical as far as just my foundational knowledge of Christ came from the Baptist Church. When I got over into holiness, that's where I really learned about the Holy Ghost and fivefold ministry and praying and laying before God. That's where I learned about, even though you can't really tell it now, but I learned about fasting and laying out before the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And but that's where I learned really what it meant, what holiness meant, and what it meant to live a life that was set aside for God. I didn't do it all the time, but I learned about it.
Glory. So I got to ask you this.
Yeah.
Because I'm being led to ask you this.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about a time that you were mad at God.
Oh, wow. It's funny. My father died in 1988, and I was 13. And that actually, that whole episode led me into, I think, a deeper desire for God after I kind of rebelled from God, if that makes any sense. When my father died, he was all I knew, because he was sickly. So I had to take care of him. So I'm a 13 year old kid taking care of his father. And I was just mad. Didn't feel like I had a childhood, you know, didn't really feel like I could go out and play whenever I want to. I would sneak out of the house and kind of leave him there, you know, and then I would get in all this trouble just for trying to hang out with my friends. And so we had a love-hate relationship. But when he died, I really felt his loss. It was very profound for me because I used all that time to be upset with him because he was limiting my childhood. And now he's gone and he's not in my life every day. So I was mad at God. I didn't understand why he would do that to me and why he would allow me to go through those things. And I just thought it was too much for a kid, you know. So as time progressed, I actually fell into depression to the point where when I was around 16 or 17, I literally started just, you know, running the streets. Believe it or not, I had at one point dreadlocks. If you can see that, I had dreadlocks. I ran, you know, trying to be hard and all of that stuff and a gangster. And one of my good friends pulled me to the side and he said something that normally I would want to fight somebody over. He pulled me to the side and said, you out here looking like a fool. And I was like, did you call me a fool? And I was ready to blast one on him. But something said, why don't you hear what he has to say? And so I did. And he just began to witness to me. And I had been in church and I'd known God, you know, as far as just from going to church, but no one had ever witnessed to me about Jesus Christ and about what my purpose was and about who I was called to be. And it was profound, you know, and it stopped me in my tracks. He invited me to church. And one of the amazing things about that whole thing is he invited me to a service. The service was at Christ Temple Church in Danville, Virginia. And it was a gentleman there by the name of Elder Stevens from Columbus, Ohio. I'll never forget it. He was preaching. The man of God was preaching. And Pastor Jalen, I mean, he was just going in. And I'm sitting there in the pew and the Lord begins to speak to me. And he says to me, he said, are you still angry with me? And I said, yeah, you took my father and now everything is just messed up. Things are not the same anymore. And he said, sometimes I have to take things away from you to show you how much you need me. And he said, I know you loved your father, but it was your father's time. And now it's my time with you. Now it's our time to really get to know each other. And he said, I've called you to be a prophet to the nations. And I'm looking around going, you know, first of all, you know, the shock of this voice speaking to me, I really thought I was going crazy. But he said, I've called you to be a prophet to the nations. I'm going to use you and all of this stuff. And I'm like, okay, whatever. He said, if you don't believe me, go up to, and at this time, Elder Stevens is giving the altar call. And there's a, you know, man, there are people that are getting prayed for, and he's moving prophetically. And I didn't really understand all of that, but he said, I want you to go up and get in the line. And I said, okay, you know, because whatever this voice is, I'm about to prove it wrong. And I got in the line, and sure enough, when I got to the man of God, he quoted Jeremiah 1:5. He said, while God formed you in your mother's womb, he ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. And he said, God's hand is on you, and God wants to heal you from all of this hurt concerning your father. And he laid hands on me, and I've never felt anything like that before. We didn't do a lot of laying on of hands in the Baptist church, but nope. He laid hands on me. and I have not been the same since. But that was hating God or being mad with God pushed me into the presence of the Lord. It pushed me into a greater relationship with him. And it also taught me that even if I'm upset with him, or even if I don't understand, that God can take it. You know, he can take us being upset with him. What he can't take is us not being honest that we're upset with him. When we shut ourselves down from dialogue with him, that's where he has a problem. So it taught me to always be honest with him, and it taught me always to be where if I don't say it to nobody else, I can say it to him, and I know he's going to have answers for me.
Okay. So I would have to ask you that question. So for so many people that's been through hurt, so many people that have had a wrong perception of God, what would you tell them in to encourage them to know God for themselves?
I just actually had a conversation about this with a young lady. A lot of times what we've done in the past, and I'm not saying it's a wrong thing to do, but a lot of times when we're witnessing the people and we're talking to them about God and we're trying to win them, we're trying to win them to our church or our denomination or our way of our viewpoint on what God is, instead of really truly discipling people into relationship with God. And a lot of that comes in us just not really being secure in our own relationships with God. So we use stuff to try to make up for the fact that we haven't gotten into a personal space with him. What I tell people is that don't judge God, who God is, by what you see people do, how you see people react, especially in the church, because sometimes us church folk can be a little ratchet. But it's always about really seeking the face of God and getting in that word, finding out, you know, how he moves, how he deals, how he answers, how he performs, how he speaks, how he loves, how he nurtures. And also have somebody to disciple you that knows that God, that knows that side of Jesus, so that they won't give you answers out of a faulty belief system, but they can give you answers from the Word of God. They can give you answers from knowing who he is outside of church. I'm really hardcore. I don't know if that makes any sense. I might be rambling. I am old and I've worked a full day today, but when I think of a lot of my missteps, it's because I depended on church more than I did my relationship with God. And I hope that makes sense. And what I'm saying by that is I thought a praise was going to fix it. You know, I thought a run was going to fix it, and all that's good. You know, I thought getting to the building was going to fix it. And if I couldn't get to the building, I was lost. If I couldn't hear my favorite song, if I couldn't hear something that was within the culture of church that I had grown accustomed to, I was lost, you know. And that's because I didn't have a true relationship with God. I didn't really know him past my church experience. So to dig in there and to really know him, the Bible talks about, Paul says, you know, to know you in the fellowship of your suffering and the power of your resurrection, you know, to know him, you know, to be intimate with, to koinonia with the Lord, you know, to be a part of him and he be a part of me, you know, to really know that intimately outside of whether or not, you know, the band is there or they're playing my favorite song or my favorite preacher's up, you know. And I hope that makes sense today, because I want people to understand that a lot of times what we do is we'll take our church relationship and we'll think that is our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're wearing the white dress, we're okay. You know, if we got the doily, I came from old school holiness, so they would wear doilies as head coverings and all this stuff. And, you know, if you had the doily and the long skirt, you were saved, you know. And one thing I found out when the rubber hits the road, your doily ain't going, you know, your doily's not going to bring you through, if that makes any sense. Your long dress ain't going, long dresses come up. We can't talk like that. I'm sorry. But when the rubber hits the road, you're going to have to have an anchor in him. The old folks used to say that, you know, make sure your anchor hold. You're going to have something that passes the culture of our church life. So
it has to be a transparent substance.
It has in to God, be.
Where you actually know why you're doing this. You're not following the fad. Because, you know, one thing that I've realized, I think I said this on a board, on a panel with you before, is that a lot of people are Christians by codependency. Because their mama was, their grandpa was, their mom, dad, sister, auntie, whatever it was, and they've never experienced Christ for themselves. And, you know, because I remember in my walk, because I didn't grow up in this, I was atheist. I didn't believe anything. And I remember when I would read all these different religions. I remember reading the Quran, and then I didn't understand why they talked about Mary, but they never talked about no other woman. Then they talked about Jesus. And then when you look at all the different religions, they talk about Jesus. And I'm like, for somebody that's so irrelevant, why do they keep talking about this man named Jesus? and then I had to have my own experience and really understand it for myself about who he, even people that don't know Christ, when something bad happens, when something, I've seen a hardcore person that don't believe in Christ get shot at and they say, oh, Jesus, and they run.
Absolutely.
Second nature. So it's just like, I had to find out for my own without the grandma, without the mom, without someone telling me what their watered down ideas, and not to be all like, you know, educational with it, but really I had to learn for myself personally, because so many people will try to put you through an agenda and a prophylax. Lord Jesus, and a prophylax where you get to a point where you don't know God yourself. You just know catechisms, and some catechisms in the church ain't even real because it's not in the Bible. So it's just kind of like I had to learn. I remember that moment where I had to learn Christ for myself, and that was the biggest thing that helped me understand my walk with Christ and to be able to see the evidence in my life of when Christ intervened, and I didn't even pay attention because I just thought it was luck. There ain't no such thing as luck. There's a lot of things that was preordained that happened because it had a reason. There was a lot of things that happened against me that happened because it had a reason. Everything has a reason. Even in science, you see there's a cause and an effect. So it's just like, one thing that I can just encourage somebody is to know Christ for yourself.
Yeah, like absolutely.
The best way you could do it is seek him yourself. He will reveal himself to you. So one thing I want to ask is, what brought you into ministry? Because I can tell you this, I just said on this platform a lot, I ran from this title. I ran and I ran so far away, but never got away. So what made you... what was your confirming moment, and then what made you sit there and say, you know, I'm gonna do this?
That question is a little, it's like a two-edged sword with me. And most people wouldn't be this real, but I'm gonna be as real as I possibly can in this moment.
Be real, preacher.
Yeah. I think I knew that I was I knew that I was called of God. But I think at the time, and just to be honest, and a lot of people do this, I wanted to do ministry so bad because I needed to feel, and there's somebody out there that's gonna, they ain't gonna agree with this, but it's true for them. I promise you it is. I wanted to do ministry so I could feel validated.
Expound on that.
Okay. And you can know you're called, and you can know God has his hand on you, and that there are certain things that you will do. And it's not so much even that it's not timing, but you can be a victim of zeal. And I was a victim of zeal very, very, very bad as a young minister. I went to my bishop, who's gone on to be with the Lord now. And, I said, hey, Bishop, I feel like the Lord has called me to preach. He agreed, and he was and you have to understand with him, this wasn't a light thing. He just didn't push people out there for the sake of pushing them out there. But there was something that wasn't done in me yet. And only I knew that, only I could be the one to say, yeah, I know it's here, but I'm not really ready. I know it's here and I know I have the access door, but I'm not really mature enough yet to have the right intentions on doing this. And I'm just being honest. So we had the sermon, and my initial sermon to me was the hottest mess I've ever seen in my life. And it was.
You're telling me you had no pretense into it. You didn't have the word together.
The word was to whatever extent it was. Now, if I had to look at it right now, I'd probably be disgusted. It wouldn't be a standing room. But but at the time, one of my favorite preachers. I had two favorite preachers was Noel Jones and Bishop Jakes. So my first sermon, my initial sermon came out sounding like something Jakes would preach.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it came out, now did I preach it like Jakes? No, but it sounded like something that and it was like the longest title in the world for a sermon. It was like, go tell Sarah to push the divine destiny, the predestined, something crazy like that. And
I'm not laughing at that, but no. I know the struggle when you sit there and you be like, man, was that on YouTube? Did you record yourself doing that sermon?
It was recorded, but I hope they have burned every copy. I hope
because I had the struggle because mine was recorded. So when you go back and listen, you're like, what was I doing in this moment? And you realize, I needed work, and now I see why. Now I see why I definitely had to go through what I went through to get more into the word, because man, some of them I was trying. And it's funny. I heard that as a young preacher saying, "Don't preach like nobody but you."
Mm-hmm.
See, I think that will save a lot of people. Because what you said is truth. A lot of times when you first start getting to preaching, you start preaching like other people. You're like, well, I heard this person preach like this, and I heard this person preach like that. And you're like, no, preach like you. Preach like the word that God gave you, because at the end of the day, that's what matters, and that's what needs to be heard.
Yeah, but if you're not affirmed in yourself, and you don't really see that you have any validity, you're reaching for what sounds good to you that will be acceptable, because in your heart you don't feel acceptable.
Ooh, that's just like, can I tag in? You know what else that reminds me of? The gospel industry.
Yeah.
Because people are not confirmed in how they sing. They're trying to sing like the Tasha Cobbs, the Kirk Franklins, the Jonathan McReynolds, and all these people, but they're not being them. They're They're not being their voice, their style. They might not even be the genre that everybody else is doing. They might be a new spin to the genre, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like because people are not so validated in self with actually being comfortable being themselves and liking what they like, they just be like everybody else. Like, I remember I heard a story about Jonathan McReynolds, but when he first came out, I just got into radio during that time, and he was at a conference with his guitar, and he was just singing, and it didn't sound like nothing that at that time we listened to. But look where he's at now for being unapologetically himself in that moment. So I think that goes into a lot in the church, and that's why we have so many. That's why we find so many egos. Let's be real.
Yeah, absolutely. We find so many
egos because somebody got this facade. It's not you. It's a facade. I'm pastor, I'm apostle, I'm bishop, I'm psalmist, I'm the singing. I'm sung everywhere in church. Now I'm a recording artist. So there's so many things where their title becomes their identity instead of being who they are and what God called them to be. Because I've always told people, without the pastor title and everything else, I know who I was.
Right.
So that's deep, and I wanted to pause there on that because that was something that somebody needed to catch at home, is that be you. And I know that sounds hard, but realize who you are, because a lot of people are imitating everybody else. And it's not just preachers, not just singers. There's somebody that's trying to be the best usher that's acting like Sister Dolores. And Sister Dolores was the best Sister Dolores. You be you. You ain't got to, you know, be somebody else. So I hope I'm not beating the horse over, beating the dead horse over the head. But I'm just saying, like, be you and watch how doors open. And, like, I give you a perfect example, personal testimony. I really don't like talking about it because I'm not a showy person. But it really took a lot out of me. When I said I was going to do gospel EDM, I knew nobody was going to fool with that. I didn't have people say to my face, man, it's cool. You know, you cool, but I don't fool with it. But I'm sitting here looking at my million stream plaque on the wall where I'm just like, somebody needed it. So it might not be your close friends. It might not be the people that you used to, but whatever God has called you to do, remember why he called you and go do it and be you. It might not be cool in the beginning, but can I tell you something? Most things that started off was not cool, and then they got cool. The Nikes you wore, nobody wore Nikes back in the 80s, and Magic Johnson passed it off. And he was even offered shares in the company to be on it. And can I tell you today, he would have been a billionaire if he would have went on it. But it took one person, Michael Jordan, to make Nike actually explode. So I'm declare decree that it's going to be one person that believes in you and whatever that you're doing to make whatever your ministry is to explode. Right now, a lot of people have overlooked you. That's on purpose because God didn't need that influence on you.
Yeah.
Telling you right now, I don't know why I'm prophesying. I don't know who I'm talking to, but whatever that is, you have to realize that God had you overlooked so that you could overcome. And in that situation of singing, book writing, ministry, church, business, whatever you're in that God called you to do in your lane, it's going to take that one person to help you blow up to that next level. Absolutely. So hope that encourages you. Be you and don't change you, because you're the best you that's out there.
That's right.
So you was preaching sermons like T.D. Jakes tearing the house down, and Bishop, this is Bishop Noel Jones. Were you talking soft too?
No, I couldn't handle the soft part. I just love the intellectual. Nobody can talk like Noel Jones. It's just like,
you're right.
He does this little shake thing he does. I love it, man. That guy. This is
Bishop Noel Jones.
He's like, man. Jones is like off the chain. I love Noel. You know, and that was the thing. I didn't have, there was no, I didn't think I was good enough. And then, you know, it got to the point where, you just start coming out of this shell, you know, eventually. And even so, when I start coming out of the shell, I'm embarrassed about being me in front of people, you know, because I started doing stuff that won't nobody doing and saying stuff that won't nobody saying. And then I started questioning, well, why do we do this? This ain't in the word. Why do we do this? Why are we saying this? You know, why are we wearing? All right, so I'm gonna make somebody mad. I know, I'm sorry. I'm gonna apologize, but I had questions. Why are we wearing collars? And why are we doing this and this and this? And why is this happening? And what I was discovering in my questions was that God was saying, I haven't called you to stay here. You know, I haven't called you to sit here. And then, you know, things started going crazy with my prophetic ministry, which was, you know, that was a whole other thing, you know, because I'm trying to keep, I wanted to sound like a smart, educated preacher. I wanted to exegete, you know, so that the angels would come down and slap me high five. And
not the angels coming slapping you high five.
Yeah, you know, it's something about an angelic high five, man, when you get that perfect exegesis. And, you know, and here I am, and I'm, you know, the Lord is saying this, and then God is doing all of this. I remember I came down here to South Carolina to preach my, because I'm from Virginia, and I came down here to preach my first revival. And I was in a meeting at my godmother's church, and I looked at this woman of God that was a part of her family. And I started, I told her, you know, I said, there's a spirit of suicide on you. And everybody looking at me crazy, like, oh, he didn't miss it now, you know? And I never forgot it. That was the first time that I saw God move in such a dimension as far as deliverance. And I started moving into this realm that I couldn't understand. And, you know, I didn't feel like, even though I was at a deliverance church, I did not feel like I was prepared to go where this thing was taking me, you know? And at the time, you know, as a young minister, people were calling me from different parts of the country and all of this crazy stuff. And to you know, and I just was not well adjusted with me, you know? I just wasn't well adjusted. And I didn't really have anyone to disciple me into the place that I was going. You know, and that's not taking anything away from my bishop at the time, because he was a powerful man of God. And he was like a Moses. But for what I was pointed to, you know, I don't know if he had the language for it, you know, and that's just honest, nothing against him, but I just don't know if he had the language for it. I didn't even have the language for it. You know, so I'm juggling all of these different things, trying to really understand who I am, you know, and that's why it's so important for especially young preachers to really find somebody that can disciple you into ministry. Somebody, you know, get, you know, and, you know, somebody you can hear, somebody you can bounce things off of.
Somebody that can mentor you.
Yeah, somebody that can mentor you, you know, and spend time with you and ask you the hard accountability questions, you know, because a lot of people want titles, and I think
everybody wants a title, but nobody wants accountability.
Exactly. Because
one thing is, I honestly believe, and me coming from the Baptist, you know, they're my folks.
Oh, yeah.
They always believed that you should have a cover. I don't care if you was Archbishop Cornelius. You still had a pastor over you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's just kind of like, I don't know what this new fad is where people thought that it was just because you get a leadership role, which I feel like that's what a lot of people thought, that you don't have nobody you are accountable to. Like, even Martin Luther King, as a preacher, had accountability. He couldn't just go off the wire. I think the most rowdiest thing you probably heard is saying, sometimes we got a riot. But he probably heard about that comment after that. So it's just like, you have to have somebody that ain't just your yes person. Yes, yeah. People don't help you grow. Yes, people keep you the same. You gotta have the person that could be like, you was right in that situation, and then they could be able to say you were wrong in that situation and not have no issue or emotions about it, because at the end of the day, you have to have some type of accountability. Because that's why you know, one thing that's crazy, I want to just address this. This reason why most preachers get so tired is because we have to minister to people that we never hurt.
Mm.
We get the bad part of ministry, where we have to actually deal with, because this preacher wasn't mature, because this preacher wasn't covered, because this preacher was running renegade. Now I got to come and get you and point you back to Jesus, not me. And you're expecting me to point you to me, and I'm supposed to point you to Jesus. And people don't like that, because they've been so had a codependency on the preacher dragging them across the finish line, where I'm trying to push you to Jesus, who's going to give you the strength to walk on it on your own. And that is such, preachers have a lot of issues when it come down to that, because it's hard. If we're not even talking to the unbelievers yet, this is people that's supposed to know Jesus. You know the word. You done been baptized. You done been to church for 20 some years, and you still mean. You still nasty. You still got bad residue from your old leadership. Because the only people you could blame is your old leadership.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's how it is. And then the preacher next to it is going to have to pray that he has the strength to actually know how to mentor you. Because everybody, one thing I like about my pastor always say this: if you've been in my church and you ain't grown, then I ain't your pastor.
Ooh.
Yeah. See, a lot of pastors won't say that. If you've been in my church for 20 years and you ain't grown mentally, spiritually, physically, emotionally, some way, then that church ain't yours. It ain't for you to be there, no matter how comfortable you are. You're supposed to go there for growth. You're supposed to go there so that you could be able to go out and start your own form of ministry. It just, man, it gets me every time I think about that. But to kind of pivot to that, let's talk more about your ministry, and like, what's some of the things that your ministry is doing, and what's some of the events that's coming up with your ministry?
Well, I have a pastor, I have a leader, and I am a servant leader for our training and teaching ministry, training and equipping ministry locally. It's called SEAL. And we're doing on the 19th, I'm doing a 4-hour training on prophetic activation. So we're going to be training on the prophetic for 4 hours. Pray for me. But yeah, so it's no charge. Yeah, it's going to be by PowerPoint.
That's by PowerPoint. Okay.
Yeah. Bring energy drinks, especially for me. But it's going to be interactive. We're going to be dispelling some myths concerning the prophetic, and we're also going to be doing harp and bowl at the end of the occasion. So we're going to be really activating people within their gifts concerning the prophetic, and giving them some guidance as to what to expect out of prophetic ministry. So I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be a deal, and I'm excited to be able to serve my leadership at our house, Faith to Faith, Glory to Glory Church, Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Amen.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. We are, my personal ministry, we are going to start back live teaching. So we're going to be going to Greenville, South Carolina in the next coming months. We're setting up now to go back and teach on a weekly basis in Greenville. We'll also be in Raleigh, Durham, and we're looking for somewhere around the Charlotte area. We're going to start teaching monthly in those areas. So we're looking forward to that. And just really, my ministry now at this age is really focused on training and equipping the saints. because I'm too old to be running a bunch of revivals. I had my time in my 30s. Not that I don't, you know, if you call me, I guess I'll come, you know, if my wife lets me. Hallelujah. But now is really time for us to really get down to some brass tacks and really train and equip people for the work to come in their life. And, you know, we can do so much hollering and clicheing and all of that and jumping around. But when it comes down to fighting that devil, you know, you're gonna have to have some equipment on you. So I believe that's what I'm called to do in this hour.
See, I'm gonna make some people mad.
Make them mad, sir.
I'm gonna make them mad. And all the people that is so dismissive about the devil not being on earth, if you really read your Bible, the Bible said that him and one third of the angels were cast down to earth. And he ain't sent to hell until judgment day. And unless y'all done seen a rapture that I ain't seen, ain't nobody seen judgment day yet. So that means the enemy is still on his job.
Yeah.
Doing what he's supposed to do to get you off track, because he gonna have to answer just like he did in Job. Where you been? Searching far and fro.
Mm-hmm.
Looking on who he could deceive, and because the only thing he does is kill, steal, and destroy. So I want y'all to know, stop saying this lie like this is this dude just making orders down under the ground. Talking about if you wondering why you stuck in a habit, you wondering why you stuck in a situation, because he intertwined and he trying to get you off. There's mm-hmm. And the devil ain't got no red horns. He look like what you like.
Yes.
You've been looking at what you've been talking about in your inner moments. He looks like that, where he could trying to get you off so that you're not effective in God and your testimony don't have power because you ain't had one yet. So mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, it's time for y'all to really read your word. Stop going, because I've been to many churches, no shade to all the churches I've been to, and I've seen so many people now that we don't carry physical Bibles no more. Actually don't read their Bible. Like, they just, like, I'll never forget this. Bishop Raymond E. Mack out of Oakland, California told me this. God rest his soul. And I'll never forget this. Boy, he said, don't ever let somebody read the Bible for you. You read it for yourself.
Yeah.
That is how Jim Jones happened. I want y'all mm-hmm. to know. And if you don't know who that is, from as a Bay Arian, we know who Jim Jones is, and y'all probably heard about him, because it says don't drink Kool-Aid. That's where that phrase came from. So
absolutely.
With that, you got to start reading the word for yourself and watch it unlock some things, and you understand there's some things that you've been doing right and some things that you just been doing because other people have told you. So, Apostle, going into the last question, what would be your encouragement for the saints tonight?
Oh man, hold on. Number one, the enemy's trying his best to wear us out. He's trying his best to wear us out. And my advice and my encouragement to all of you that are listening is, first of all, he who hath begun a good work in you is able to bring it to pass. He's able to fulfill it and finish the work that is in you. The expectation of the Lord concerning you is good and not evil. That's what Jeremiah says. So he is able to keep you, to carry you, to sustain you and strengthen you. Don't let the devil wear you out. Don't covenant with the enemy. Don't worship the enemy with your worrisome words and your unrestrained words, rather. Believe and trust and hold on to the testimony of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Revelation that the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Prophesy your way through this. Hold on to what he's already established and what he's already promised. God is not slack concerning his promises to you, and he loves you, and he's given you the kingdom. You got to catch that. He's given you dominion. He's given you reign. He's given you the kingdom. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So receive the kingdom, receive his heart, receive his promises, and stomp on the devil's head every chance you get. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. And Doc, go ahead and tell them everywhere where they can find you again, just in case they missed you in the beginning.
Yeah, so we're at eHub Nation on all platforms, Facebook, YouTube, and I believe Instagram as well. You can find us on Twitch as well at eHub Nation. We are normally teaching live or recorded every Saturday on YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook. I need like a administrator to talk for me. Yeah, that's what we're doing now. That's what we're doing.
Amen. Well, one thing I could definitely say is I appreciate you for coming on tonight and sharing your testimony, telling us more about you so we could really know about Apostle R.L. Jackson and all the great things that you're doing in the East Coast and Virginia and Columbia and South Carolina. I was stationed in South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina.
Fort Jackson.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, my wife.
Jackson, or AKA Action Jackson, because there was no lats in there. You don't know how many hills I climbed over in Fort Jackson. Y'all talking about it was easy, but we just because we wasn't lost in the woods, but that's another story. Anyway, definitely wanted to just say that I appreciate you for coming on. You know, now that you came on, like I say, the mission statement of Anointed Radio is unity brings change. Amen. And if we could just all come together and do a great impact, just think about what the unbelief could be able to see and start really understanding who Christ is, because he'll be able to see people that never been together be in unity together because of a one common cause, and that's Jesus Christ. So I definitely thank you for coming on. We definitely here in Las Vegas got nothing but support for you. So let us know some things. We're definitely promote and show things that you guys are doing out there on the East Coast. And much love. Like, well, you're my brother anyway, so you know.
Yeah, you know that, man. But hey, real quick, can I give a shout out to like three people? Just three people.
That's gonna cost you like $50 each.
Cash App, don't mess up. I want to give a shout out to my wife who's listening, bless her heart. I love her so much. She's like been the biggest supporter. We are celebrating on the 12th, our 28th anniversary. So I just want to shout her out. I love her. She is the best wife for me. Amen. She handles all of my, you know, all of my little Rodney ways, praise the Lord. So I'm grateful for her. And also to my leaders, Apostle William Cleveland and Pastor G. Cleveland, Faith to Faith, Glory to Glory Church in Spartanburg, South Carolina. They literally brought me back from the dead in 2014. And I'm grateful for them and their relationship and what God has been. So I just wanted to shout them out real quick. So thank you, my brother. I appreciate that.
Amen. And we appreciate you for coming on. And then anybody that's just coming on, make sure you share, like, subscribe. And if you just coming in and it's at the tail end, you know, it doesn't have to end. You could go ahead and go to our podcast platform where we're on everything but Tidal. That means iHeartRadio, Pandora. We're on Spotify. We're on Tuner. We're on all those different platforms. And you could be able to follow us at Anointed Radio on all of those podcast platforms and play back every episode on there. On Spotify, you can watch the video. On YouTube, you can watch the video. And if you didn't know, you could be able to go check us out on Roku, where we're on Roku TV. Go to the Roku TV app like you're going to download Netflix. But instead of Netflix, you're going to download the Anointed Radio app and be able to watch all the episodes, all of our different shows that we have, including we have one Christian movie. Now, I've been trying to get more Christian movies, but I feel these film writers ain't. I said for free. I don't understand it. I'm like, I'm giving you a platform, get you free distribution on Roku for your channel. That's a Christian-based channel. And all these Christian filmmakers, they don't email me at lvanointedradio@gmail.com. I'm just saying.
Hey, yeah. I got one for you over here in South Carolina, man. His name is Lee Smith, man.
Hey, send him my way. I give him for free to get onto the platform. And and definitely watch us on our Roku TV. And one thing I wanted to say is my birthday was last week. So I didn't get to say happy it, but birthday, yeah, I appreciate it. August 4th, you know, Leo season. It was a great time. I appreciate everybody that sent the cash apps to $ Pastor Calhoun, if you still want to send it. But thank you for all the people that send cash apps. Thank you for all the people that gave me cards and gifts and all the great stuff. I appreciate everybody. I even appreciate people that didn't say happy birthday. That was free. You could have just said happy birthday. I said happy birthday to you. See, I got a platform, so I could vent about those things. But it is okay, because when God elevates me, I will remember that. Amen. Low key.
Amen. Petty.
So with that, low key petty. So with that being said, I want everybody to stay blessed. Just know that God has a new season for you, and what that is, not just any normal season. It's a season for you to be you. And be unapologetically you, and show the gifts that God has instilled in your life, and not to be ashamed of it. You don't need validation from nobody, because you got validated by God. So with that being said, I see y'all next week, and much love. Peace.